Hey Sam, how do my dude?
Good. Footy's back this week.
Oh yeah.
Cal, you went very quiet for a second. We might not hear it because of the truncated silence that we always do on these recordings. But why did you just not make any noise for like half a minute?
I
said footy's back very excitedly.
Boo! Is what I should have said. I don't know, man.
Have we ever done an episode on any? Are there any Aussie football movies?
There's a movie called Valentine's Day starring old mate from he was from like play school. And it was no, I don't know. I can't remember what it was called.
Oh yeah.
I got nothing.
Valentine's Day is the one that had like Taylor Lautner and Taylor Swift and
yeah, no, this one's about AFL.
Oh. Yeah, fair enough. There's the movie Australian Rules, which is based on the book Deadly Anna.
Oh, yeah. We watched that in high school.
Oh, we read it in high school.
Oh, yeah, like we also read the book. I totally read the book.
We actually read it in class.
Yeah.
We had to, like, read out a chapter at a time out loud to the whole class. Which I didn't mind.
Yeah, we didn't have to
Everyone
do that
else
until,
hated
like,
it.
Year 12.
Yeah, we were in year 7. But that book has swears in it.
Hey.
So we got to say fuck in front of the teacher. So that was an absolute win. The teachers realized pretty quickly that if we all said fuck and then we all giggled, and they were like, maybe just don't say the word, but we all still said the word. So yeah. Sucked in teachers. You want some tweets that are even remotely related to what we do on this podcast?
Tweet me up. I'm pretty sure we falsely said that we'd be talking about Sonic this week. But Sonic's not out, so...
I was going to say, but that's your fault. You lied to
that's
me.
That's my bad. Yeah, I did lie.
Sonic
to you.
Isn't even out yet. Apparently Spider-Man's out on digital now, so maybe we'll just do No Way Home again.
We'll just do Spider-Man again.
At Riley is good as tweeted, saying, how could we not mention the best bit? Oh, right, so this is in relation to the Batman. Which is, when the Penguin has his ankles tied together and he waddles like a penguin. It's a pretty good bit, Riley.
Excellent.
I do enjoy that bit of the movie The Batman, featuring the greatest actor of our time, Colin Farrell.
I still don't believe it. It was someone else.
It's one of those situations where it's like, this book was written by Stephen M. King. Definitely yeah. Same guy, right?
Totally.
Directed by Stanley Spielberg. I don't know.
Who
don't know
Homer? Who is Homer? I'm Guy Incognito.
We got another tweet from Riley that says, enough hints in the Batman make me think they're doing Hush next, which lends itself to throwing in a lot of villains. I'd love a full-on spooky scarecrow. I think Deathstroke could work. They could do a sick Mad Hatter or Professor Pig.
I don't think they're going to throw too many crazy villains of the wall. I know that's what we spent the last half of the last episode talking about. It was like how cool it would be to see some like actual like crazy powered supervillains.
I think, yeah, I don't think they're going to do that. They could, but I don't think they will. I think if they're going to do... I think Hush could be really cool. But what you have to do, I think, is it can't be the Riddler, right? Like, you have to make it someone else. So...
That is the thing. Like, maybe they just... Like, they shouldn't do Hush because it shouldn't be the Riddler so soon. But they could build to Hush.
Totally.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, like, well, that's true. They could totally... For those who don't know the twist, the big twist is it's Riddler again. I think they should build to Court of Owls. I think you do another one. And then you do Court of Owls in a third one. And I don't think you touch the Joker till after that.
Yeah, I think that's about right. Look,
and I think Robert
Pattinson
has even talked about how he wants to do Court of Owls. Which
Court of Owls
sick.
Is just... It's a good one. And look, I think... Like, do you do Robin in this world? Like, do you do Dick Grayson?
I think you totally could. Played by Tom Holland.
God damn it, no.
Do you make him like a proper? Do you make him like a proper kid? Make him like a 6-year-old? Batman's just like beating him for training.
No.
Because wasn't the original Robin, he wasn't that young, but he was like 12 or something. I'm like, Batman, you were a responsible man.
Yeah, but it's not clear how much... I don't know, man. Like, I don't know enough about how that's done, and we're getting way off topic.
I think we totally could have a Robin. Because think about when we last had a Robin.
Mm. Yeah, the dead one in Batman vs. Superman. Yeah, it's...
And then, and then Chris O'Dowd, real-life 30-year-old Chris O'Dowd who needed to be adopted by Batman.
Wait, when did that happen?
Batman Forever.
Yeah, but that's not... His name isn't Chris O'Dowd.
No, the actor's name's Chris... No, the... Yeah. No, the actor's name's Chris O'Donnell.
I was going to say, Chris O'Dowd, I think, is the guy from IT Crowd.
Yeah, it is. It is. Chris O'Dowd is from the IT Crowd. Chris O'Donnell is from Batman.
Yeah.
This too many people named Chris, frankly. And also Chris O'Dowd for Robin, opposite Robert Pattinson's Batman. No. De-age him.
Then hire someone else. If you have to de-age somebody, hire someone else.
I think they should cast Mark Hamill in the role, but make him entirely synthetic. Oh, God. We have one more tweet. It's from the at Before the Movies pod, the BTM podcast. Oh, hey. Cal, you know you're on this show. You don't have to tweet us, right?
I don't.
Cal's like, what's a Twitter? I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I totally never use Twitter for anything.
Bob, I'm assuming, at BTM. Yeah, Cal, we know. We all know. You didn't need to say it.
What does Bob say?
Or the other best bit, where the bat bats a baddie with a bat. Both scenes are the absolute apex of the visual medium. You're both right, Bob and Riley. Thank you for your input. We agree. Right, Cal? I mean, I like the bit where the car, like, goes through the concrete, like, tunnel thing, but, yeah.
All right, play the music. Hello and welcome to the Video Shop Podcast, about what you're watching, maybe. I'm your host, Cal.
And I'm your other host, Sam, and today we're talking about puberty, boys and girls. In the context now, Sam, of the film Turning Red.
Now, when Sam, a mummy and a daddy love each other very much. Your body might be changing.
You might start seeing hair. I've seen no proof. I still can't grow any facial hair.
God. What did you think of the latest entry in Pixar's... I nearly said calendar. I don't know why I would say calendar. Repertoire. No, movie. Oh, it's a movie.
I thought it was great.
I really enjoyed it. I came out of it going, like, it's a little bit... It's a bit fucking weird. which is generally, like, you're right. Good. Like,
Pixar's always been straight-laced, no-nonsense.
Look,
ever
a
since
little
Toy
bit...
Story... With the talking toys, there hasn't been any nonsense. No nonsense.
Toy Story... I mean, maybe it's because
Not
Toy
even
Story's
that time that a girl's feelings had feelings. No nonsense here at Pixar.
All of those things are, like, very old ideas from long before Pixar.
Feelings having feelings and operating your brain with controls.
Well, and as a couple of gents who have come off a werewolf movie recently...
I was going to say, this is just the werewolf idea.
Yeah, it's just... Yeah, the idea of the werewolf as a representation for feminine puberty is not new. but, like, I guess... Like, I watched the making of yesterday. And the way they described the character designs, which is something I've seen on the internet being blasted a little bit... was that they were looking at the flaws of the people around them, like, in the actual writers' rooms and stuff.
Interesting.
And just incorporating them in there. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I think is a little bit weird. Like, everyone's got, like, slightly too big teeth and weird shaped noses, and they pulled really ugly faces. And
liked all the character design. Are people upset about the character design?
Oh, people are saying that it was ugly, and I'm like, yeah, it was ugly. But knowing that that's the point, and that it's all about these adolescence is ugly. You know.
Well,
it's like when we watch Ginger Snaps and the guy who gets werewolfified is all pimply, and it's like, yeah.
Hideous.
Because it's puberty. Like,
yeah.
It makes sense that there are these, like, weirdly proportioned, awkward-looking, like...
I guess a lot of them were awkward-looking. That there is no doubt. But I found it charming.
I really did, too. Like... But I came out of it sort of... So, like, one of the other things on the internet at the moment for this is that basically somebody wrote a review saying that it was too niche, that it felt like it was particularly made for the creator Domi Shi, because it's largely autobiographical. Like, it's, like...
Yeah. She, as a child, turned into a giant red panda, yes.
Yes, exactly. And when her kaiju mother went on a rampage in...
Dude, sudden kaiju took me by surprise. I was like,
I'm so happy that it turned into a kaiju movie. Man. And there was such good, like, anime influences there. That bit where she's, like, jumping from building to building, like, with the moon behind her was...
And, the poof that, like, propels her.
Yeah. So good. Cool. But, yeah, like, so basically this... I can't remember what the reviewer's name was, but he basically just said that it was a little bit hard to relate to because of how niche it was. And a lot of people were like, oh, well, you were relating to a fish boy last year, you know, how blah blah blah. And I'm like, yeah, I entirely disagree with the concept that you can't relate to it just because it's, like, made for little girls or is about a particular type of ethnic minority. But at the same time, I did feel a little bit disconnected from these characters, and I'm not entirely sure why.
I think it's because you're a bad person.
Probably.
Who lacks empathy.
I think the friends weren't as fleshed out as I would have liked them to be.
I suppose.
Particularly not the green friend. The green friend was all right. But the pink friend and the yellow friend were a bit... were a bit distant. A little bit too one-dimensional. But
no more than I thought a lot of... They are side characters, right? They're not the focus. They were fleshed out enough for me that I'm like, I didn't feel disconnected from them, though.
I don't know exactly what it was that, like, I've spent a lot of time on this deep dive really trying to figure out what it was. And the friends is just one sort of little gripe that I think might have contributed. When the mum first embarrasses her, by just...
But that's the thing where I don't get where it's not relatable, though. Like, embarrassing parents or overbearing parents or, the awkwardness of puberty. And, like, literally it's one of those few things that everyone on the planet's experienced.
Totally.
And so I guess I just don't understand what isn't... Like, the side characters maybe aren't fleshed out enough, but what isn't... What you can't connect to in the main character?
Well, and that's sort of where I'm confused. Because, like, I think I generally liked this movie. And maybe I'm just watching a movie that I didn't love, but I liked. And hearing these things about it and trying to connect my feelings to these things that I've heard about it. But I don't know. Because,
I don't know you.
Because I enjoyed big chunks of this movie. But yeah, I sort of came out of it going, yeah, that was good. It clearly wasn't made for me. I'm sure there's something, I felt like there was something that I wasn't getting. And I don't entirely know what that could be.
I'm trying to think what it could be other than you being dead inside.
when the mum does her rampage, at the start of the movie where she embarrasses Mei Mei. That seemed, like, cartoonishly over the top.
Right.
And to the point where it's like, yeah, if anything's going to turn you into a giant red panda, it's going to be that. Like, that was crazy.
Very much so.
So I it was important that it was that level over the top. But I guess, like, again, like, just trying to think of any reason why it might have made a disconnect for me is that that seemed, like, too over the top.
Yeah, I know people whose parents are like that, though.
Oh, totally, man. Like, and I'm lucky that my parents weren't like that, but... Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. I connected to the main character, I think, so easily that I just was totally on board, basically from the beginning. It's because the main character, Mimi, is very charming. And so is the panda version. And is why would anyone give up the ability to become a giant red panda?
And, like, because, like, there was a little bit at the beginning there where it was like, oh, maybe this is more like Hulk. Like, when she's going to rip up the shrine and she's real mad at the ancestor and stuff. Like, I sort of get that, like, maybe you want to keep that under wraps. And if you were the mother, if you were Ming, you'd want to, you know, maybe not be a kaiju. Or maybe, you know.
That one I kind of get. Remove
the ability to accidentally become a kaiju at a, you know, wedding or something.
Yeah, that one I do understand.
I think that is the other thing about this, though, is that having so recently watched Encanto...
Yeah.
...that deals with this generational trauma, overbearing parental figures and stuff like that, I think that Encanto just sort of handled it a bit better...
The generational stuff, I tend to agree, yeah. I suppose it's thematically a pretty similar movie. It's about generational trauma and becoming one's own. I loved that it was set in 2002.
When you hadn't watched it yet, and I was like, do you want a mild spoiler?
Was that what... I thought it was going to be the kaiju. Because I'm watching it, I'm like, dude, this has to be the early 2000s. I haven't seen a single iPhone. And then the boy band came out, and I'm like, this isn't now. I'm like, this ain't now. Don't even try and make me think it's now.
Well, I was expecting the movie to be a K-pop band.
Well, K-pop might have been now, right? But they were. But once they came out, they were very clearly the Backstreet Boys.
yeah, man, and that music was really good.
Yeah, sure it was.
No, I mean not the music of 2002. I mean this imitation of that kind of music
was a good imitation of the music of 2002. Yes, it was.
It was spot on.
It feels like they captured the Beastie. They probably caught the Beastie Boys themselves and just wrung them out over like a piano. Music just existed.
Beastie Boys isn't right. Backstreet Boys. NSYNC.
Yep, sorry. NSYNC too. Yep.
Yeah.
Someone's cracked open Justin Timberlake's skull and just poured out what was
just
left
poured it out
of early 2000s music.
Because that was done by Billie Eilish, I think, was connected.
Oh,
to
really?
Making the original songs for this movie.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I like Billie Eilish.
And there was somebody else who has like a one name, like they're a one name sort of person, but I hadn't heard of them and I can't remember what their name is, but apparently they're great. Doesn't matter.
Music.
Are you on the Wikipedia page?
Yes.
Cool.
So he's Ludwig cheating on his essay. Gorason.
Yeah.
Was the composer.
Yep.
First animated film. Billie Eilish and Finis O'Connell wrote three original songs performed in the film by the fictional boy band.
Yep.
So they wrote them. It doesn't say who sung them, though.
That's right.
It tells me that the performer is Fortown.
So it's a studio band. Doesn't matter. Point is, they were... Look.
They've done those songs in multiple languages, though, which is kind of cool. So, Da Ice in Japan performed it. Wolves, which is a Taiwanese band, performed it in Mandarin.
Yeah.
It doesn't say who performed it. It just says Fortown. Anyway.
It doesn't matter. It's totally fine. But like, yeah, I'm their just whole
confused.
Their whole contribution to the singing at the end.
It could have like, been the voice actors coming, too, but... actually.
Mm.
Jordan Fisher, Finis O'Connell was one of the members of the boy band.
Right.
Josh Levy, Tofen Nying, no, and Grayson Villanueva.
I feel like we're going too far.
No, I wanted to know, and now I do know, and I'm pleased.
Sure. Yeah, like...
authentic. Very authentic.
Yes. Very, very true to their period piece.
Very authentic 2002.
Mm.
Brings me much joy. I love the early 2000s.
I'm a little bit struggling to think of what else to say. I know we're only half an hour in.
How horrifying was her nightmare when she first turned into the panda?
Yeah, man, they did some weird pretty imagery. Pretty intense.
I really liked all the animation, though. Like, it's par for the course now. Like, every new animated movie that comes out, it's like, oh my god, the animation's beautiful. This is so amazing. It's done something different. They're all like that. But I did quite like the way they did kind of mesh other animation styles. Like, they did the whole eyes becoming dollars. You don't see that in 3D animation very often.
Yeah, they really borrowed from proper, like, traditional cartoons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they did that a few times. I like that a lot, too. Like, the big eyes going all watery and... I thought it was like, fantastic.
And like, I got a bit of a Wallace and Gromit vibe from some of the mouth work and the lip syncing and stuff, which was like... Yeah, like, this whole thing was visually just really charming.
Yeah. Yeah, I really liked it. I'm trying to think where I would, like, rank it in, like, the Pixar kind of world. Because I had a lot of fun with it, and I think it was quite wholesome. I think the stuff I liked that her mum wasn't outright a villain, but neither was the grandma. It's just generations of, you know, trauma that... All the great things we said about Encanto, I would also say about this movie. They're also even though they're thematically the same, they're entirely different movies as far as execution goes. Like this, isn't a musical, which I think by default will make it lose points with you.
A little bit. Luis's song in Encanto is just excellent. Like, that's going to stick with me forever. Because I really... There's something so intriguing about some of the decisions made in this movie. It's the kind of movie that's, like... It is just the right kind of... Like, ugly is not the right word. Gross isn't the right word. But it's somewhat... It's somewhat off-putting.
I think it's just got to make that, even though it's very animated and heightened, I think that the fact that they've stolen real-world, like, flaws in all the way they've animated everything makes it very genuine, makes it feel genuinely real. And the way they make, the adults are all pretty normally, you know, quote-unquote, because what's normal, proportioned, and the kids aren't, because that's how kids grow. Kids do grow. Some kids get, you know, their teeth are bigger first. You know, you get braces and they don't fit your mouth, and then your head doesn't fit your body. And, like, that is a thing with growing up. And then sometimes you turn into a giant panda. Like, that happens.
Yeah.
Cal, if you had a family blessing.
God damn it.
You turned in to an animal when you got overhyped. What do you think your animal would be?
I hate being a party pooper on all of these really fucking dumb hypothetical questions. But that's a very dumb hypothetical question.
Cal, this is why you're not invited to our parties anymore. Because you're no fun. Oh, yeah.
Totally.
Because you're boring. Totally. You sap the fun out of a room.
All right, well, go on then. What would you be?
I don't know. I want to be something fun, but fuck, it'd probably be like just a goat. Not a big one, just a normal old goat.
Oh, probably
what it'd be.
Fair enough.
It'll be something cool like an eagle. Probably not. Probably just a goat.
It'd be nice to turn into something that could fly so you could just fuck off.
A galah would be sick. A giant galah. Oh, man. I'd be a giant galah. That'd be sick.
God damn it, Sam. This isn't about what would be good.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I would want, but I'd probably just be regular old normal-sized goat.
Yeah, probably.
God damn. What about you, Cal? What'd you be?
Oh, fuck. I don't know.
Probably a fucking cat. A sour one. Sour puss. That's what you'd be, Cal.
Sure.
Since you don't have much to say on this, do you want to do the impossible and rank every Pixar movie?
I mean, sure. I haven't... There's more that I haven't seen than I thought.
That can't be true.
Yeah, well, I mean, go. Let's go. Because, like, I've seen... Like, Toy Story's the first one. So... You know? Yeah. That, you know, we'll... So what's the second one? It's like A Bug's Life.
Yeah, so it's below Pixar, right? Sorry, below Toy Story, right?
I mean, I guess so.
Would you put it above Toy Story? Surely not.
I mean, maybe. So that's the other thing, man. I haven't seen A Bug's Life in like 15 years.
I can tell you unequivocally, Toy Story is a better movie.
Sure. All right, I'm not gonna fight you on that one. Then what do we got?
Right, I'm writing it down. Toy Story 2.
Toy Story 2. I remember more of Toy Story 2 than I do of Toy Story 1.
I think Toy Story 1's
a tighter movie.
No, I think Toy Story 2 is better. I think it Empire Strikes Back's it.
Fair enough.
And it was the first time Disney ever released a sequel into theaters. Ever.
Sure, but that doesn't say anything about the quality.
It means... No, because they were going to do it as straight to DVD. Because they were like, just let the B team make this. And then the A team made it instead. And they're like, holy shit, this is amazing. Yes, put this out at cinemas.
Sure.
Toy Story 2 outranks Toy Story 1, I think.
Cool. All right.
Because the thing about it is you've got Jesse, you've got the like fight in the airplane, like carousel, like where the luggage goes.
Yeah. And I remember the whole like... this is where at one point they're
Jesse
in like
being
a
left
toy
on,
store,
like, the side of the road, or not the side of the road, in a in a cabin or something.
Right.
Sad.
And like, fair enough. Yeah. No. I. Yep. So that could be
number one at the moment. So sure. next up, we got Monsters Inc.
I didn't like Monsters Inc. that much.
What? All right, I see the problem with this as an idea, right?
That I have no soul.
Yeah, that you're dead inside. Someone hurt you.
Because, like, once you get to the more contemporary stuff, I'll remember it a bit better. But, like, I just don't remember enjoying Monsters, Inc. that much.
Do you remember
enjoying
A Bug's Life?
I remember more things from A Bug's Life than I do Monsters, Inc., I think. Like, I remember them making the big bird and, like, the whole circus thing and...
Yeah. Monsters is better, though. I'm going to putting it above Bug's Life, but below Toy Story.
Sure.
I'm overruling you on this one.
You're overruling me on them all. This is fine.
Finding Nemo.
Finding Nemo, I remember really enjoying as a kid. I haven't revisited it very much. I'd probably say... I guess, like, on par with Toy Story 1.
I really like Finding Nemo. I think Finding Nemo is great.
Would you put it above?
I would put it above Toy Story, I think. I watched it a lot more as a kid than Toy Story.
Fair enough.
Which makes me think I like it more, but who's to say?
You probably just Stockholmed into that.
Well, what is childhood nostalgia if not Stockholm Syndrome?
It's nothing. That's all it is. It's only Stockholm Syndrome.
Well, here's a good one. The Incredibles. Surely you remember The Incredibles.
I do like The Incredibles. That's...
To put it above everything else so far?
For me, yeah, probably.
I'm okay with that.
Fair enough.
It's easily the best Fantastic Four movie by like a country mile.
Yeah. Like, no doubt.
What about Cars?
I remember exactly nothing about Cars.
Right, we're putting it above Bug's Life, but at the bottom. What about Ratatouille?
I remember Ratatouille being quite charming.
Yeah, I quite like Ratatouille. I don't think I like it more than Finding Nemo, but is it better than Toy Story?
I don't know, man. Mate.
This was an probably awful not. Idea.
Yeah, this right. was a terrible idea, man.
Well, you're the one who's like, I don't have anything else to say. I'm Cal.
I didn't.
I'm as bad as James.
I'm struggling. I'm sorry. I don't.
Wall-E?
I haven't seen Wall-E.
What? All right, this is now where the rating stops. Because I'm
and
done
the
with
rage
you.
Begins.
I'm done with you.
Now, go on. Quick fire round for the rest.
Quick fire round. For yeah. the rest. The rest yeah. of all of the Pixar movies.
Yeah, this can't be that many.
So we got Wall-E, Up, Toy Story 3, Cars 2, Brave. I'm just starting.
Okay, I haven't seen Brave, haven't seen Toy Story 3.
You haven't seen Toy Story 3?
No.
Oh my god.
I haven't seen Toy Story 3 or 4.
Look, 4 I can accept you not seeing. Toy Story 3 is a perfect movie and you're a bad person. Cars 2?
I haven't seen it.
Well, that's fair enough. It's terrible. I actually haven't seen Brave either. So
I hear it's just Brother Bear, but worse.
I've heard it's Brother Bear, but better. So, I don't know.
Fair enough.
Because Brother Bear's not that good, is it?
I remember Brother Bear being fine, but I haven't seen it since I was a child.
I was going to say, I remember it being, good as a kid. Inside Out? No, Monsters University. I also haven't seen it. Inside Out?
Quite good, not life-changing like everybody says it is. I'd probably put it near the top of this list
right.
under Incredibles.
So, here's the thing, right? That I'm now realizing. Your feeling about Turning Red are pretty consistent with your feelings about Pixar movies.
Maybe, but we're going to get to Luca, and I fucking love Luca.
Yeah, but I think that's the exception to the rule.
Well, and I really liked Onward.
Oh, true, Onward. The Good Dinosaur?
Haven't seen it.
Finding Dory.
I disliked Finding Dory. I'd put that
on the
podcast.
Oh, we did that
on
the podcast, didn't we? Cars 3.
Haven't seen it.
Coco.
Haven't seen it.
Oh, dude. Coco's great.
I was Incredibles gonna say, 2. I do hear very good things about Coco. Incredibles 2 was a bit disappointing.
Yeah, I found that one a bit subpar too. Toy Story 4. You haven't seen. Onward. Soul.
Yep.
Which I liked.
Soul was fine. I wouldn't rate it particularly highly.
And then we got Luca and Turning Red.
And so I think Up was the other one that I really quite liked. That we sort of skipped over a bit there. But yeah, I think you might be right. I think I just don't like Pixar movies that much.
I think if nothing else, we've found why you're kind of on Turning Red. And it's that you're, that as my original statement holds true, you're just dead inside.
Maybe.
Something inside you died a long time ago.
Well, and because the thing about Turning Red that I might not have articulated very well is that it's because it's not that I don't like it. I think it's quite good. But I'm like more morbidly curious than actually entertained by it.
Well, I was also, I found that too, but I was entertained by the how do you respond to that kind of thing.
Mm.
I also liked that they just straight up were happy to show boxes of pads in an animated movie. I'm like,
that was
fantastic.
Nice. And
have you seen the complaints about that on the internet?
No.
This is that loud vocal minority. So, you know, we're just giving them another platform by pointing it out. But they're like, you can't show puberty in these kind of movies. It's inappropriate. That's adult stuff like pads. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Puberty and pads are like,
it's children who go through that. It's not adults.
Every single person experiences some kind of puberty on the planet. Like, it's literally not adults.
Yeah, that's the thing. The difference between children and adults by a lot of people's metrics is whether or not they've been through that. Like, you're a child when you go through it. That's the point.
But I think, especially in conservative circles, there's the perception you're not an adult till you're 18. But, you know, young girls are, you know, mostly will know about this kind of stuff if they're taught it properly. So, and boys aren't because they're shielded from it because it's icky and gross and a girl thing, which I think is the stupid.
But like, so, they also they also don't dwell on it too much. Like, no, I've heard people...
They don't. They don't go... And, like, it's obviously all a metaphor for puberty, but they don't... There's, like, it's in two scenes. Two shots.
Mm.
It's not overdone.
Yeah. I mean, it's a bit weird when you take the panda as a metaphor for puberty too far, because then it becomes, well, every woman in their family banished puberty and never completed it.
Well, that's the thing.
What does that even mean? And the mum's puberty is a kaiju?
Well, that's because it's, as we discuss a lot on the podcast, is you can't take metaphors in films quite so literally.
Because if you do, then this is a movie about a 13-year-old girl selling her post-pubescent body and pictures of it for money.
Exactly.
Yeah. Don't think about this shit too hard.
Well, yeah, and that's true of pretty much all film. Because even like things like high concept stuff is hard to take too literally. Like Inside Out, where if you even think about that for too long, it stops making any sense. And that might be why you don't like it. But most films, when you have a metaphor, you can't unpack the metaphor too hard.
I don't want this to come across as Cal doesn't like Pixar, because most of the movies that I've watched, I've found perfectly fine. I just...
You see, when I keep saying Cal doesn't like Pixar, what I mean is that I'm trying to make it appear like you don't like Pixar and therefore are the bad guy in this dynamic.
Yeah. Right, okay. As long as that's all we're doing.
as long as we're all on the same page about what's going on.
Yeah. Like, because I've heard people say, because some of the people involved making it, tweeted something about how it's unapologetically horny.
Mm.
And I found that really funny, particularly the bit where, like, those aspects of the movie I found funny. The bit where
May is
out the front of the Daisy Mart stomping her feet going awooga.
Well, and then they're like, wolf, we're going to this very, concert very funny. And then we'll be women, and I'm like,
what?
I'm like,
also they're talking about the Tamagotchi boys meeting their father, their daddy.
Yeah, I mean, we were all horny for the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC.
And look, get it, maybe that's the bit I don't relate to. Maybe I was never quite horny, as perverted as these it's these 13-year-old fictional characters.
All right, so again, I know I keep coming back to the well of Cal's dead inside, but you weren't horny for the Backstreet Boys, hence the dead inside. Same thing.
No,
you know when you do a math equation, you write Cal wasn't horny for Backstreet Boys, and then you write an equal sign, and then you write next to it, dead inside.
Yeah.
Don't open.
That's how that works.
Dead inside. Or is it don't dead open inside?
The second one, yes.
Yeah. It's a really random reference.
God damn. Should get that tattooed.
On me. Don't dead open inside?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just as the
but not the door, deck. just as like the text in a line.
Yeah. Nailed it.
Like they should have nailed that door, bloody, rather than tying it up, I tell you what.
But like Walking I kind Dead. Of
anyway.
Like I can relate to the dirty drawings under the bed.
Yep.
Thing like, it was just a bit weird to see that happen as like an explosion. Like she just sort of goes from being like, I can't believe all my friends are dealing with this boy, to later that evening drawing weird mermaid pictures of him.
I guess. I mean, but as a kid, that... I was thinking about this the other day, right? I had this thing for a girl when I was like 12, right? In high school, year 7. And it took a lot of courage for me to like build it up to ask her out. I'm like, hey, you want to go out with me? You know when you ask someone to go out with you and that doesn't mean anything. You're not going on dates. Yeah. You just like sit awkwardly together.
Do you want to hang out with me at lunch?
Pretty much is what you're asking. And she said yes. And then a couple of days later, we were hanging out, and she was like, hey, so I don't really want a boyfriend, so, like, we won't. And I was like, oh, and I was bummed, man. I was bummed for about 10 minutes because then I missed my bus for circus camp. And this sounds made up. But me and my mate missed the bus because I was sad. And I was, and then we were like begging the teacher to like drive us there instead of going on the bus. So,
God damn it.
I bounced back quickly. And I swear that happened because I just realized how made up it sounds.
That sounds so made up.
Instead of PE for like an entire term in year seven, we instead of doing PE in our final class on a Friday afternoon, instead of doing PE, we got driven to this circus. It wasn't an actual circus. It was like a gymnastics building where circus performers trained, and we got taught circus tricks and stuff for a whole term.
So I can't imagine
mm-hmm.
anyone wanting to do that for any other reason than so that you didn't have to do actual PE.
Well, and that was the thing, right? So it was, the teacher we were begging was like, you just got to go to normal PE with the other class. And we're like, no, all our friends are at the other one. And
don't make me. You can't make me.
Yeah. Well, my other friend got on his knees and begged. He was like, which is what finally convinced our teacher to let us go. He found it very amusing. He had that like, you know, these silly boys. So yeah, he drove us over there, and we did, you know, like where you do like the two sticks with the string and the round thing in the middle that you like flick around and do tricks with. I used to be able to do a bunch of tricks with one of those because I got taught it at circus camp. Can't anymore. We did like forward rolls and shit. Like it was way all better of my than
ligaments would just go flying. Like you'd just hear twang and you'd hear like a gunshot as all
you
of
know.
My...
You know when you like
limbs stop being standing held in place.
You're standing on something high and you fall back and you have like four people on each side and they catch you in your arms?
Yeah.
So
like a trust fall. Like a
yeah, but,
Mean Girls.
But yes, yeah, exactly like that. Well,
yeah.
One of my friends did, when he fell back, instead of staying straight, he decided to curl up into a ball and go ass first, straight into the floor, like a big dickhead. Which he was. Bad bloke. The kind of person who you're only friends with because you don't have any other choice. Because, you know, there's like four people in the class. Take that Finn.
Wow.
Actually, no, two Finns. I just want to know Soccer Finn. You're all right. I liked you. Other Finn. You were kind of a dick.
God damn it.
No, I don't like you in hindsight.
Oh, way to fucking dox yourself, Sam.
I don't give a shit. Do what I want.
Good on you. But yeah, anyone who's upset about the whole puberty stuff in turning
shut
red,
up. Like puberty is something exclusively
silly.
For children. Like
yeah, puberty is exclusively for children.
It's the least adult thing I can think of.
Like cuz it has to be by definition. If you're an adult going through puberty, something went wrong.
And there's adult, you know, adults go through changes too, right?
Totally, like people.
Maybe
don't...
we should call it adult puberty.
I mean, no, we have other words for that.
Well, and I mean, as we stated at the start of the podcast, I can't grow a beard, so I assume I'll hit puberty at some point.
God damn it, Sam!
And I'll get that sweet, sweet beard.
That's not how it works. I mean, it kind of is. You do.
Actually, that's what my animal would be: something without hair, like a naked mall rat,
eating nachos all day.
As long as it's a cute one like Rufus and not ugly like a real one that's ugly. Have you seen a real naked mall rat? Hideous creatures. I'm not sure why they chose it for Rufus. Because, I reiterate, hideous. Have you seen one, Cal? Have you seen a real naked mall rat? Ugly.
Yeah, they're gross.
They're blind and ugly and dirty and they live in the ground and I don't like them. I want to eat nachos.
And with that, I think we got thoroughly off the rails.
Don't know what you're talking about. I'm perfectly on the rails.
God damn it. The dad's speech was excellent.
Yep.
And like the more that gets revealed about this family, like the more heartwarming it all is. And
well, I quite liked the family. I felt the family, even though, because you're right that a lot of the characters aren't properly fleshed out, but I think the important characters are the mum and the, you know, that mum and daughter dynamic is very well fleshed out. And I think all the other characters, you get enough sense of them that you kind of understand who, you understand who they are, even if you don't understand why they are. You know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah.
And I think that is what the movie nails. It's the what people are.
Mm.
And you, like, don't necessarily need to know why someone is the way they are.
Yeah, totally. And like, I would be down for a sequel for this.
I would also be down for a sequel. There's not many Pixar movies that I think actively need sequels, but this is one of them.
Yeah, I mean, because I would like to see one set in the modern day.
Where, yeah, what's it like being a your mid 20s with a with a in college? Like, they did the Monsters University. Do a university one. I think that would be interesting.
Well, because either, yeah, returning to May and seeing this more as, because what I assumed this movie was going to be is more of a how do you deal with anxiety and having anxiety attacks as a teenager, and
but it's not that at all.
It's not that at all. So doing that. Why did that you think as that? Just because that seems like I hadn't seen all that much about it. I'd only seen, oh, she gets like embarrassed or panicked and she turns into a panda, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's probably what this is going to be.
And then so it wasn't that
doing something
remotely.
A bit. No, not really. But doing something a bit more like that as she's
you
an
could,
adult, like
you could
just dealing
turn
with
new, it into
deeper
a,
feelings.
I was gonna say you could turn it into a metaphor for anxiety or depression in. Instead, if you wanted to do the same character and evolve the character in an interesting way, yeah, I think you could do that. That would be cool.
But I think the better way to do it is to just do another, like, a different kid in that family, just going
could
through different...
Could do, but then it would be the same, I think. I don't know if I would find that as interesting.
So, what I do is one that's a bit more... Like, you change the way that panda is. You'd make them, like... You'd make them bigger, or you'd make them tiny and weak or something. Like, you'd make it, it like a different kind of metaphor for a different kind of experience with that. And yeah, like you just do something a little bit different with it, because part of this was like the stakes are really low in this movie because everybody loves the panda.
Yes.
Like the actual consequences are only between her and her mum.
Which is what grounds that, I think, in a reality. And I quite liked that. It made it less like some other movies like this where you're publicly scorned, you know?
Well, and it became a bit more like Teen Wolf, but without the supportive parent, rather than...
It was a bit like Teen Wolf, actually, wasn't it? Which is also just a metaphor for puberty.
Yeah.
I love and Teen Wolf. That original Teen
that's
Wolf
fine.
Movie with Michael J. Fox. I love that movie.
Good. It's a good movie. But, like... Having something that's a bit more of a struggle, because like not to say that May didn't struggle, but have something that's a bit more of an everyday struggle with, like, between her and her friends, like, because like we watched Ginger Snaps,
yeah,
and it was like that's about like relationships getting strained, like because of a puberty metaphor,
yeah,
you know, and it's like that sort of hits a bit because it's sort of not happening to the main character. The main character is actually the sister.
Yeah, she's the observer to the change rather than the one the change is happening to.
Yeah. And so, I don't know. I think there's plenty of room to do different stuff with this whole metaphor. Like, I mean, partly because dozens of movies already exist about it.
Well, and partly because, as we previously stated, everyone goes through this and everyone goes through it in a slightly different way. So it's very, easy to build lots of metaphor for it.
Yeah. So, Pixar, do Turning Red 2. I think it would be quite good. I'd like to see uni student May getting, like, dealing with anxiety and you know, falling in proper love and dealing, like, trying to maintain an emotional control in situations that have more stakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or don't. Just give us, like, give us a different... Give us a G-rated Ginger Snaps or...
The next movie they're giving us is Lightyear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I'm sure it'll be good. Sci-fi action movie made by Pixar. Like, it sounds like it's probably...
It's got to be different, man.
I can't believe you haven't seen Wall-E.
Man, look, I'd be down to binge a bunch of Pixar movies.
Want us to do a Pixar ranked? We'll watch the ones we haven't seen. Because I haven't seen a couple of them too.
I very well might need to just binge a whole lot of them. Because I think that part of the reason why I've gone cold on a lot of these is because I just haven't seen them since I was a little kid.
And I think a lot of them hold up more. I wasn't going to say more than people give credit. I think people give it a lot of credit. But I think the credit is fair that a lot of Pixar movies do hold up fairly well. Because a lot of their stories are very universal and not... Like, the animation may not hold up necessarily, but even there it does because they were smart for the first couple of decades and they just straight up... They animated so few humans. Like, Toy Story, it's easier to relate to these characters because it's easy to make a plastic toy look like it's moving around. The humans in it look terrible, but...
Yeah.
The other stuff doesn't. Well,
even then, you only really see Sid... For an extended period of time.
And he's a monster, so, you know, he's meant to look horrible. Poor Sid. Dude was clearly in a problematic... Like, clearly his parents didn't pay him much attention.
Dude.
And he's, he's super creative. He's like, that's kit bashing. Like, dude, that's the kind of stuff, like, everyone at Pixar did when they were with ILM. Like...
Yeah. Man, like,
but he's the villain.
Many
very funny.
So many of these like older villains, like in different lights, are just kids with some problems. the bully character is one that has gone through a whole lot of changes over the years.
To the point now, if you're gonna do the bully character, you really need to give it some substance. Speaking of, in my book, the bully character has zero substance.
Did you hear about the end of Arthur? Like, that Arthur's finished now?
I did hear that it ended. Are we going to binge that and do a podcast on Arthur?
Fuck no. but like, that's one of the movies... That's one of the shows... That's one of the bullies.
I love that show.
Oh, dude, it's great. Like, a lot of it's really, really good. I'm sure there's some stinkers. It went forever, so there's got to be some crap in there.
Yeah, I couldn't... I didn't even... Honestly, I wasn't that sad that it ended, because I didn't realize it was still going. Although, apparently the last episode, like, flashes forward. They're all adults and shit. So maybe I'll check out that episode. Because sounds wild.
So, do you remember Binky?
Yes.
The bully for that? Like, he's... Like, because there were episodes where he was just intimidating... But, like, that show came out so fucking long ago, but Binky was always a pretty three-dimensional character, like, who might have been mean and doing mean things, but also had his own wants and, like...
But that was the thing with that show, and because it was a show, not a movie, like, everyone in that show got fleshed out. Everyone was the way they were for a reason. The annoying younger sister, you know, had so many arcs on just her own. I remember having DVDs that included entire DW arcs, right? There's one where she, like, becomes friends with she meets the president by mistake or something. It's a very DW thing to do. I love the one...
Just an uppity bitch to the president.
Yeah. As DW do as DW does. I like the one where Arthur and his friends all made a movie. Because, like, as a kid, I really... quite a small kid, I really related to wanting to...
Movies.
I wanted to make movies. So I was like... And they, like... What I liked about it is they had the real scenes, or the action movie scenes, and then they'd have their recreations. And I just... I loved it. I'm like, oh, that's fun. Man. Making me want to watch Arthur, Cal. What the hell?
I wanted to give an example of a good bully character.
Yeah. Well, you gave a good example of a good show, buddy. You son of a bitch.
What did you think of Turning Red? Tweet us at VideoShopPod.
It gets a big old panda thumb up from me.
I really enjoyed it, despite being... coming across as really cold on it. I'm so morbidly curious about it that... It makes me feel a little bit awkward to just openly say, yeah, I really like this movie.
I guess it's probably not a bad thing that you're left wanting a sequel in the regards that, like, it's an intriguing concept, at, you know, and it's
the world. And I don't even think engaging. It was necessarily lacking, but it was like, it just made me, it, like, it off-put me as much as it entertained me, and I don't know how to feel about that. Like, cause all the good bits were good, and I don't think there were particularly many bad bits, but I was grossed out and intrigued and, you know, I made awkward in all the right ways.
Yeah, well, it definitely, like, it does the whole, like, awkward teenager thing, because that's what it's emulating. There was something else that did that really effectively, not Teen Wolf. Man, when people talk about Teen Wolf now, they're talking about the show. Did you ever watch the show?
Yeah.
I never watched
the original.
Yeah. But, like, it just seems like, it's like they needed a Twilight. They needed a new Vampire Diary. So it's just sexy, sexy boys.
Yeah. And it's like, that's fine if that's what you're into. Like, I have enough sexy boys in my life.
Aw.
Moving on. Tweet us a video shop.
Not me, is it, Cal?
It's not you, Sam.
It's Molkay, isn't it? I get it. Handsome boy.
Tweet us at Video Shop Pod. Who's the sexy boy in your life?
And why is it Robert Pattinson?
Why is it still him?
He's only sexier, Cal. He's sexier now than when he made Twilight.
Yeah, that's how it works, man. Mm. He's only going to keep getting sexier until he starts getting decrepit.
Yeah, tweet us at Video Shop Pod. What are we doing next week? Something completely nonsensical and relevant, and whatever we say here, probably not what we say?
Pretty much. I mean, like, we could do some of the old Batman and maybe the National Treasures.
I'm down for either of those. I'm down to rewatch OG Batman. I recently rewatched Batman Returns, so I could do the Tim Burton Batman.
Yeah. What do you want us to talk about? Tweet us a Video Shop Pod.
Yeah, would you prefer to hear us talk about Batman or National Treasure? Tim Burton's Batman movie specifically, or National Treasure?
Comparing old Batman to The Batman and National Treasure to Uncharted, which one do you want?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool. Or, you know where to find us.
Do you want us to talk about the Twilight movies?
No.
Third option.
It's not happening.
If that's the vote we get, Cal, that's what we have to do.
It's not happening. I'm just not watching them all. There's like fucking 10 of them, and I'm just
There's
not watching them
five.
All.
Five. There's literally half of what you said.
That's still so many.
It's not that many. You
know
it's there
a
are
a lot
like,
of many.
You know there are 18 Batman movies made by Tim Burton, right? That's
Look, what you're just because, to. Just because I spent the last couple of days watching like hours worth of Turning Red reviews doesn't mean I have time to watch five Twilight movies. I don't. I'm a very busy man.
What are you doing, Cal?
I'm what? Watching reviews of Turning Red. Well, I just told you.
You're still doing that. You're still in the rabbit hole. You haven't clawed yourself out yet.
I haven't. That's my animal. It'll be a rabbit in a hole.
Just screaming.
Here we go. I answered your dumb question.
Hey, Cal.
Yeah.
Nothing.
I was going to say, you're going to ask me to end the episode?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, see you, Nerds.